Thank you for downloading the Archers Omnibus podcast. For more information, visit bbc.co.uk/archers.
You're out here, are you?
Yeah. Kirsty wants a few heads of purple broccoli for the shop tomorrow.
Right.
Not that I felt like it this morning. Still, there's no peace for the wicked, is there?
I noticed you haven't started on the yard yet, then.
No, but don't worry.
Oh.
No, there's an army of fairies going to do it for me.
Dad!
Well, I've only just caught up with last week's jobs, thanks to your jaunt to Shrewsbury.
Well, maybe we could pin down a time now to do it together. How about that?
That should be enough.
It only needs a tidy up and the odd lick of paint.
Just relax, Tom. There's plenty of time before the Felbersham relaunch.
Well, not really. We'll need the photographs and the video ready before the relaunch. That's the whole point. Look, I've got paperwork to catch up on this morning, but I'm prepared to push that to this afternoon if we wanted to make a start now.
No, I can't this morning.
Why not?
Well, I need to get the tractor out and put in a couple of hours on the seed beds.
Right, so how about this afternoon instead?
Oh, no, you don't. Now, I've promised myself a pint in the bull, then a nice long doze after lunch.
Oh.
You can sigh all you want. I deserve one afternoon off.
Please, sit down. Now, Ash Wednesday this week sets us on a journey of preparation for the death and resurrection of Christ in Holy Week. But how shall we prepare? How shall we purify ourselves? What shall we sacrifice? You may remember last year, for Lent, we replaced our usual Sunday lunches with bread and cheese, which some of you managed more successfully than others. Well, this year on the PCC, we've cooked up something a little different. Now, we don't suggest you renounce anything material this year. You're probably being forced to do that already in this age of austerity. So we thought we would donate a regular sum from the collection during Lent to our debt crisis charity in Borchester. And that's not to say we wouldn't urge you to give generously to that. No, this year's idea is to do with giving something up, but perhaps not quite in the usual way. So the first challenge to you is to give up gossip. Those negative and snide comments about other people, ones we'd be mortified to hear turned back on ourselves. It takes two to gossip, remember? One to speak and the other to relish listening. The second challenge is that you go out of your way to perform random acts of kindness. Now, that's not like making your spouse a cup of tea, as I hope you do that occasionally anyway. No, I mean something really special. Putting yourself out, giving of your own time and energy to help someone else for its own sake. You may find your kindness is returned to you.
What an original idea, giving up gossip.
Well, I'm off to perform my first random act of kindness, but from purely selfish motives.
I can't believe that, Neil.
Oh, thank you, but it's true. I want to finish painting my father-in-law's hall.
I thought that was emulsion under your nails.
Yeah. Tracy and the kids move in there this week.
Oh, I see. Good.
There's only a bit to finish now, and the sooner I'm done, the sooner Susan and I can have our house back to ourselves. Right, bye-bye then.
Bye, Neil.
Bye.
Excuse me.
Well, I don't know how someone's going to manage without gossiping.
Careful, he'll hear you.
Sorry. Susan will need to take a vow of silence.
Oh, dear.
Do you want to come back for lunch, Mum? I'm doing the full works.
No, darling. If I eat a big meal, I shan't feel at all like tackling the garden this afternoon.
Oh, you'd be very welcome.
Thank you. I may just pop round for a cup of tea later, when I've earned it.
Oh, OK.
I'd like to bid for Harry's promise of a few hours at the auction on Tuesday, but I don't think I'll be able to afford him.
Why not?
Well, there's been an awful lot of interest from the young women in the village, and some not so young.
I know, what a hoot.
Yes, I'm sure he'll raise a fortune. Only my clematis needs cutting back.
Why not ask David?
I can't. Not with all his problems on the farm. He was round yesterday. Not in a very good state.
Oh, dear.
He feels he's been forced to choose between Pip and Josh. You know, because one of them favours the sheep and the other the cows.
But that's ridiculous. Josh is only 14. He might decide to go off and become a racing driver one day. Anything.
Exactly. David was even worrying about Ben.
Ben?
Well, he'll be in the equation one day, Shula.
Oh, honestly. They can't even be certain Pip'll stay at Brookfield. She may go travelling after uni or decide to work overseas.
Yes. Or settle down and marry there.
So did you say all this to him?
No. He just needed to get it off his chest, really.
Oh, it's crazy. He and Ruth need to plan on the basis of here and now, not the what-ifs.
Yes. I don't know how Ruth will cope if they do lose the herd. It's so much a part of who she is.
Yes. She's really throwing herself into the fight against Brian's dairy plans, isn't she?
Mm. I think it's her way of escaping the dilemma at home. Still, I'm going to support her at Friday's meeting.
It's those last fiddly little jobs that do my head in.
Yeah, I know. Like cleaning the paintbrushes.
Still, I'm done now. And I must say, it looks very nice.
Well, you've put in the hours.
Oh, well, I wanted to get it finished before dinner. I'm picking up Kylie at Hollerton at 4 o'clock.
Oh, Kylie?
Yeah, she's got a reading week, that's it. She's coming down to spend some time with her granddad and the rest of us, of course.
Oh, I'm very fond of Kylie.
Yeah. Well, she's been getting on great with Emma on Facebook, so she and Ed and the kids are coming for their tea tonight.
All right, Neil, Tony?
Brian.
Afternoon.
Look, I'll be with you in a minute.
OK.
Doesn't usually come in on a Sunday.
Oh, we're having a chat about the public meeting.
Oh. Well, don't let him dictate the terms, Neil. He'll bully you, given half a chance.
I do know what I'm doing, Tony.
He's only happy when he gets his own way.
I'll be even-handed. I am used to chairing meetings, you know.
All I'm saying is, watch him. Well, give our best to Kylie, won't you?
Ah, yes, I will. Yeah. You're off now, then?
Yes, I am. After I've dropped a word in Brian's ear.
Oh, Tony!
I'll have ice in it, Reese, when you're ready. Hello, Tony.
Come to Nobble Neil, have you?
Now, there's a tongue twister.
You know what I mean.
I take it you'll be there on Friday, hiding behind Pat's dungarees.
No, ha ha. At least we're united on this, unlike your family.
Oh, didn't you know? Lillian's all in favour of our dairy plans.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, and she's coming to support me at the meeting, as will Jenny, of course. So that leaves you the odd one out amongst your siblings.
Oh, same as Adam, then. Pat's going to wipe the floor with you on Friday.
I look forward to it. You know, Tony, dinosaurs died out because they couldn't adapt.
Oh, now that's funny. I thought it was because their heads got so big they couldn't hold them up anymore. See you.
Oh, all right, Kylie. It can't be helped. No, I'll meet you near 5:30 then. Yeah. Yeah, bye.
So, Neil, can I buy you a pint?
No, best not.
Yeah, quite right, yes. So, is Susan coming on Friday to support the in-laws?
Well, I don't expect so. She works for Pat, remember?
Oh, of course she does.
So, the meeting...
Yes, well, what I thought... Oh, sorry, did you want to kick off?
No, you go on.
Are you sure? Because, I mean, you're in charge.
No, say your piece.
Right. Well, Debbie and I would like a turn each at the top of the meeting to present our plans.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, before a question-and-answer session kicks off.
From the platform?
Well, of course.
I just want to be clear.
Yeah, sorry.
And the rest of the board?
Well, if it's all right, we'd like Martin there with us to field any financial questions. But the rest are happy to sit with the audience. I mean, we don't want to sit up there looking like a phalanx of Politburo chiefs.
No. And we don't want it looking like a PR exercise either. So I think it best if just one of you does the opening pitch. I don't mind if it's you or Debbie, just not both of you.
Oh, right. Debbie will probably do a slicker, a clearer presentation than me. Yeah.
And I'll be stressing the audience can make comments as well as just ask questions.
Oh, yeah, obviously. Yeah.
We want to hear all sides of the argument, don't we? 'Tis a debate, after all.
Goodness, you've bought him.
That's right. Oh, you like being brushed, don't you, Topper?
Well, I am surprised.
Not half as surprised as Alistair was. He's still very cross with me.
I did wonder.
What?
Well, there was an atmosphere between you over tea, darling.
Oh, sorry, Mum. But the thought of him going to a stranger was just too awful.
I agree with you, actually. And Freddie knows, does he?
Not yet. I'm planning to tell him when he's older, when he can ride Topper himself.
Oh, Nigel would have been so pleased.
There's no way I'm letting him go, Mum. He belongs in the family.
You've done the right thing, darling. Only, well, promise me you won't let things fester with Alistair.
He's the one who needs to come round to the idea.
Go on.
Did you manage to put your feet up for a couple of hours then?
Yeah, except I was keeping an eye on Henry at the same time, so it wasn't very restful. Now, what is it? I want to start the milking.
The yard.
But what about it?
Can we at least pin down a time to get started on it?
No, I can't think about that now.
I'm trying to sort out my diary for next week.
Oh, damn.
What?
Look, one of the cows is limping.
Dad! Our Felbersham launch is 2 weeks away. The clock's ticking.
I'll check her when I've got her in the parlour.
Go on.
I mean, how long have those old corrugated sheets been lying there?
Well, they might come in useful one day.
Why are you digging your heels in like this? Don't you want it to be a success?
Okay, I'll get it done, all right?
By when?
Oh, for heaven's sake.
I want to be able to tick it off my to-do list.
Stop haranguing me.
Well, you keep making excuses.
Look, Tom, I'm not the lowly farmhand and you're not my gaffer. So just back off, all right?
All right. On my way. Kylie!
Hello, Grandad.
Come in, my dear.
You all right?
Oh, all the better for seeing you. Yeah, not a very nice day.
No.
I think we're due rain. Now, just you stand back and admire all this before we go through.
All right. I heard about the hall.
Oh, and the rest. Always done us a smashing job, as Nail. All except Gary's room.
Ah, I like the colour, Grandad.
Well, that's it, you see. Nice and clean. That's what we needed. Come on, we'll get the kettle on. Then I'll show you the rest of the house after.
Oh, hi, love. Have you delivered the veg already?
Yeah. The shop seemed busy for a Monday morning.
Well, that's good. Shows the relaunch has stirred things up.
Maybe.
Oh, come on, be positive. Are you coming in for coffee?
Oh, after I've seen to that cow.
The one that was limping?
Yeah.
Well, Helen's coming in for a council of war about Friday. The BL meeting?
Oh, good.
And I want to make some phone calls to drum up more support.
Reading week, hey? And you've come to see me.
I can do both, Grandad.
Do you want another biscuit, love?
Oh, no, thanks.
I'm not one for books. Neither was your Nana Ivy.
I shouldn't think she had time with six kids.
How she was so proud of you, Kylie, the first one in the family to go to a university. Oh, yes.
Well, loads of people go these days.
You're going to make something of your life.
Only if I get a job.
Whilst your father, who was the apple of your Nana's eye, oh, he's led a life of ruin.
I can only stay in Ambridge for a couple of days, Grandad.
Oh, well, that's better than nothing.
I thought I'd come back and see you this afternoon. There's a visit I want to fit in this morning.
Well, let's hope your Uncle Gary's out of his pit by then. That's his washing there.
I'll put it in the machine if you like.
Oh, yes, that'd be lovely. He had a late session down the Dog and Trumpet in Borchester. Well, I'm glad he's still at home. Even so, I felt so lonely without my Ivy. I still can't believe she's gone.
Oh, come on, Grandad. You'll soon have a house full, with Tracy and her two moving in on Thursday.
Oh, yeah. It'll gladden my heart, all right. Sound of little ones running riot. Just like the old days.
OK, Ed.
So, I'm staying out of his way today.
Which is great for your
Tom, got so fed up with him nagging me yesterday, I told him to leave me alone. Yeah.
Oh,
okay.
Dad.
Bye. Well, Ed and Joe are coming on Friday.
Oh, that's funny. I've just seen Joe's name here on the petition.
Oh, good old Joe.
What about Eddie? Is he coming as well?
No, he's doing the lambing shift at Brookfield to allow David and Ruth to come.
Oh, right. You know, I just can't imagine Brookfield without a herd.
Oh, me neither. It would devastate Ruth.
Well, things can change alarmingly fast in farming, as we know to our cost.
Which is why we need to keep ahead. We mustn't lose momentum.
Oh, don't, Helen. You sound just like Tom. Oh, who's that?
I'll go.
Do you want the laptop, Mum?
No. Shut it down, love. I need to get back to the dairy.
OK.
What a lovely surprise. Come on in. You remember Tony, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Lovely to see you again, Kylie.
And this is Helen.
Oh, hi.
Hi there.
Come on, come and sit down.
Oh, I hope I'm not interrupting you.
No, not at all.
Here, give me your coat.
Oh, thanks.
Put the kettle on, Helen.
Oh, yeah.
How's Rich? Oh,
give the girl a chance,
No, he's fine as far as I know. Thanks, Tony.
Oh, that's right.
Haven't been home for ages, see?
Oh.
I came straight down from Lancaster yesterday.
I love your earrings, Kylie.
Oh, thanks. I got them for Christmas from Mum.
They really match your eyes, don't they, Mum?
Yes. And did you have a good Christmas, all of you?
Yeah. Oh, I put on about £3.
Oh. And what did Rich get?
Oh, a new bike.
Oh, what's it like?
Mum?
A mountain.
Oh.
Oh, hey, I remember this kitchen. It's always really warm in here.
Yeah, well, compared with the old caravan, it would be.
There was one winter when you had a permanent cold. That's why I moved you and your mum inside.
And then the council let Sharon rent the house next to your grandad.
I remember it. It's been really great seeing him more. Just sad it's all because of Nana's death.
Of course. But it's nice to think some good's come out of it.
Is that you, Neil? Ah, good. Now, Neil, I've been thinking. Poor old Gary. Well, everyone's got a nice new room now. All except him. It seems a shame, don't it? Neil?
I can see you now, Kylie, bossing the cows around.
Oh, I must have been such a pain.
You weren't at all scared of them.
No, I remember you weren't.
I think I preferred them to the pigs, actually.
Oh, I hope you never said that to John.
Well, you must have stuff to do, so I'll get off now.
Oh, are you sure?
Yeah, thanks for the coffee.
No, thank you for coming.
Oh, I wanted to.
It's been lovely. Mm. When are you going back?
Wednesday. I'm going with Emma and George to the pancake races tomorrow afternoon at the Bull.
Oh, but before the Promises auction.
That's right.
Oh, let me get your coat.
How did you get here, Kylie?
Oh, I walked. It didn't take me long.
But it's raining really heavily now. You can't go out in that.
No.
Oh, I'll be okay.
I'll run you back. Here's your coat.
Oh, ta.
No, I'll do it, Dad. Where are you going, Kylie?
Oh, I don't want to put you out.
It's fine.
Oh, well, OK then. Thanks. I'm having lunch with Tracy.
At Ambridge View?
Yeah.
Right. Come on then.
Oh, wait. Let me give the girl a hug. Oh. Bye, love.
Bye, Pat.
It was so sweet of you to come and see us.
Yes, you're welcome anytime.
Oh, cheers.
Are you all right to watch Henry, Dad?
Yes, yes, yeah. What about your coat, Helen?
No, I'll make a dash for it. Come on then, Kylie.
OK.
Oh, look at it.
Bye.
She looks just like Sharon did as a young woman.
Yes, but she's not as hard.
She hasn't needed to be.
Oh, thank God she didn't inherit Clive's genes.
Oh, she's a sweetie. Well, I'd better get back to Susan.
And I need to finish that field I started yesterday when Helen gets back. So I hope this rain lets up soon.
Oh, it's bucketing down.
Yeah. Reminds me of home.
Right, let's get these windscreen wipers on. Ah, slight improvement.
Oh, I really appreciate this, Helen.
Don't be silly. You'll have to come again when Henry's awake.
Yeah. Oh, it does feel funny being back here.
Don't suppose you remember me very well from the old days?
No, not really. Sorry.
What about John?
Yeah, I remember him better. I think I used to call him Uncle John.
Yes, you did.
Didn't he have some music decks?
His mobile disco, yeah.
I think he used to practice with it in the living room at the Green. I can remember the coloured lights flashing against the wall.
Rich looks so like him, you know.
Yeah?
It was overwhelming when I saw his photo on your Facebook page.
It must have been spooky.
It was a shock, all right. For all of us.
Mum's dead protective of Rich.
Yeah, I kind of get that.
I mean, she has told him his real dad's dead.
Oh, it's weird to think you're talking about John.
Yeah, sorry. But Rich doesn't know him as John. I mean, Mum didn't want to start using his name. She didn't want to give Rich any clues. In fact, she's never encouraged him to find out anything.
She told Mum he's never shown an interest in his birth family.
Well, that's not strictly true.
No?
He is curious.
Really?
Well, it's fairly natural, I think, anyway.
What's he said?
That he sometimes wonders where he's come from. Of course, he worships Eamon.
Sure.
He's been a brilliant dad to both of us, but Rich would still like to know about his real father. He said that to me more than once.
Wow.
He'd never, ever raise it with my mum, though.
No?
No way.
But he's got a right to know.
Oh, I agree, but it's a complete no-go area with her, and Rich knows it. He keeps quiet.
And does it upset him?
No, he seems cool. He just wants to know. Most of his mates have jumbled-up families too, so it's no big deal.
Jumbled up?
Well, you know, step-parents, half-brothers and sisters, living boyfriends, you name it.
So, have you never said anything to him?
Oh, no. I promised Mum all along I wouldn't. I've been tempted, though.
Must have been a huge strain on you.
Ah, I don't mind, but it's not very fair on Rich.
No. But if Sharon's laid down the law, that's it. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no. She's a strong woman, my mum. She does lay down the law. But I feel sad he's missing out on knowing Tony and Pat. They're so lovely, Helen.
Thank you. And they're doting grandparents. Henry can vouch for that.
I can see from the way they talk about him.
They're aching to get to know Rich, Kylie. So am I. I'm his auntie, after all.
Yeah, I suppose.
John meant everything to me. Oh, I wish you could remember him better. He was such a great guy. His death has left a terrible scar on the family.
I'm sorry.
A scar Rich might be able to heal one day.
Oh, that's a big ask for a little lad.
Sharon loved John, you know, and John her. If Rich ever finds out the truth, that's something I'd like him to know.
Okay.
Do you think...
What?
Should I approach Sharon?
Oh, no.
It would mean such a lot to Mum and Dad.
I don't think so.
It might be easier coming from me.
Helen, no.
Oh.
I have to respect my mum's wishes.
Okay.
You do see that, don't you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. But she's not going to change her mind about this. Trust me.
It was her first day outside today. Go on.
Well, they seem very frisky on it.
They skipped onto the grass this morning. It's always such a great sight.
And a natural one.
Exactly.
Well, I was going to work late on Friday, but I've decided to come and support you instead.
Oh, that's fantastic, Usha.
Well, it makes me shudder to think of row upon row of cows not able to roam around.
Well, actually, and I'm not one to defend Debbie and Brian's plans, but that is a misconception. The cows would be loose-housed. They can move around.
Yeah, but it's still intensive. Anyway, I hope in return you're supporting Alan tonight at the Promises auction.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Oh, come on, Ruth. It'll be a laugh. You need something to cheer you up.
But one man's gossip is another man's need to know, surely.
It's all to do with intention, though, Jim.
There's your point, Alan.
Oh, thanks, Jolene.
He's on the house.
What? Are you sure?
Well, you've got a thirsty evening ahead of you.
Thank you.
Two mushroom pancakes, please, Alan.
And as for that woolly random act of kindness nonsense, straight out of a Californian self-help book.
Such scepticism.
It's not even about relinquishing anything.
Except selfishness. To give and not to count the cost.
Oh. Well, giving up gossip's a tall order. I read somewhere most women can keep a secret for precisely 32 minutes.
That I can believe.
I'm not saying a word.
Well, I'm off upstairs. Jill and Christine are holding a table in case it gets busy. Well,
there's still 45 minutes till the auction, Jim.
Well, I'm not sitting on anyone's knee.
Oh, Jolene. What? Since you're on the committee, I wonder, do you think I should advance the bids by a pound at a time?
Oh, blimey, Alan, we'll be up there all night.
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about the pensioners and low-income folk.
Oh, well, fair enough. How about increments of £2, then?
Two?
Yeah, yeah. But if the audience are on a roll, I should just go with it. You know, we're trying to raise money here.
OK.
Oh, by the way, what's Linda's secret offer?
Oh, don't ask. It's a typically weird one from Planet Linda.
No, judge not.
Oh. Forgive me. But then again, Lent doesn't start till tomorrow.
Oh, well, place is packed. How's your pancake?
It's a bit leathery.
Oh, dear. Mike prefers something more substantial. He's having pie and chips downstairs.
So come on then, Linda. What's your secret offer for the auction?
Ah, well, suffice to say, I anticipate a lot of interest.
Testing, testing.
Ooh, Alan's getting revved up, look.
One, two,
I hear
one,
his Lent challenge
two,
was a bit of a surprise.
One,
yes, it was very thought-provoking.
Oh, no.
I'm not really one for gossip. I mean, neither. Oh, I see Brian's here.
Oh, yeah.
Of course, you know Borchester Land's trying to buy off the Britain in Bloom Committee.
Really?
Oh, yes. Trying to sweeten any opposition to this monstrous dairy idea. He's obviously here to flash the cash and win support.
Mike's all in favour of it.
Well, that doesn't mean you have to be, Vicky.
Oh, I suppose not. I must say, I fancy bidding for Eddie's water feature.
Oh, yes, we already have one of Eddie's water features at Ambridge Hall. But I am interested in Mr. Button's fungi walk. Very educational.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. On behalf of the Britain in Bloom Committee, may I welcome you to tonight's gardening auction. Now, as you know, Ambridge is a village of very keen gardeners, so I know you're all going to dig deep. Let's shake that money tree and raise a mound of cash. Now, I hope you've all got your sheets of offers, which were circulated by Jill and Christine and Jim. You've all had a chance to look at the website in advance of tonight. I'll be taking the bits off.
See, this was a good idea, Ruth. You're starting to unwind.
Well, that would be the vino. Is there anything in particular you fancy tonight?
Ah, well, you wait and see.
Can we squeeze in, girls?
Of course, Jolene.
Look, it's standing Ramona the white. I'm busy downstairs.
Come on.
Right, now the first lot is Ed and George Grundy's Slug Patrol.
Oh.
I hope your response won't be sluggish.
Oh. Oh. Don't think much of the joke's over.
And I expect they'll get worse.
Now, they've offered to come every evening for a fortnight to take your slugs away. Oh. Who's going to start me off at £2?
Hello?
Thank you, Linda. We're off. £4 with Susan. Thank you. £6 from Jean. Thank you. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we are now up to lot...
Number 6!
Oh, thank you, Vicky. Yes, lot number 6, yes. That is lot number 6, Eddie Grundy's water feature. It's a very, very generous offer, unspecified, but Eddie will give the catalogue to the highest bidder to choose the one they like, even if it's the top of the range.
£10!
Oh, wow. Someone's keen. Right, we will start the bidding with £10. Do I hear 12?
12!
12 to Jim on my right. And, it's 14 from Christine. She's got a hand in the air. Again to my right. 14, 14. Up, no, 16 to you, sir. Thank you. Oh, 18 from Christine.
20!
Oh, 20 from my dear wife.
£25!
Oh, Vicky's definitely keen, ladies and gentlemen. Definitely the one to beat. Any advance on 25? And I'm still with Vicky at a wonderful £65. Any more in the room? No? No? Well, it looks like it's yours, Vicky, for £65. Going, gone!
Well done, Vicky.
Oh, thanks. Oh, I know just where I'm going to put it.
It's a good thing Mike's downstairs.
Oh, no, he's standing behind Neil and he doesn't look too pleased.
Well, it's all in a good cause.
Oh, I don't care. The garden's my department at Willow Cottage.
Ladies and gentlemen, we now come to number 7 on the list. Linda Snell's surprise item.
Last.
The suspense is killing us.
We can't wait.
What is it, Alice?
Oh, she's kept us all in the dark, haven't you, Linda?
Well, I do pride myself on being able to keep a secret.
I won't keep you in suspense any longer. The offer is for Linda's llamas to come and cut your grass.
Oh, for heaven's sake!
So, what should we start at?
It sounds like something out of the Flintstones.
Shut up, Jim.
£5, Alan.
The bowl doesn't have a nose.
Stop picking. We've got to pub grass, haven't we?
Excuse me, Vicky. I need the ladies.
Linda.
Do we have any advance on £5, please? Well, that's how it's going to be, is it? Where are you, Harry? Hiding, eh, wise man? He is offering 4 hours' labour. Use him as you will, ladies. I'm sticking my neck out here, I am, but I'm guessing things are going to be hotting up pretty quickly, so I'm going to start the bidding at £10.
15!
Ooh, straight out of the blocks, Jolene.
20!
Oh, 20 from Ruth.
Purely for his practical help.
£25!
Wait, we seem to be leaping up a fiver at a time. Is that okay?
Yeah!
You've got to surf it, Alan!
Okay, at the back now. 30 from Brenda. Brenda, 30. Do I see 35? Yes, 35 to my left. 35 from Lillian.
40!
Oh, I'm with 40. 40. Oh, there's a raised hand for 45 from Kirsty down here. 45. At the back, 50. 50 with Brenda. Rolls off the tongue, doesn't it? Oh, Hillary, sorry, is that 55? £55. Well, I think Harry could make a comfortable living from all the women here tonight. Not like that. Honestly, what are you lot like? Oh, where was I?
It was £55 with Hillary Noakes. I'm spent out.
Oh, sorry, Hillary. Any advance on 55? No, then it's 55 going once.
60.
60. Ooh, Usha. Right, we're back with Jolene. £65, damn good price for 4 hours gardening.
70.
Oh, it's a good thing my wife's independently wealthy, ladies and gentlemen. So it's eye-watering, £70 with Usha Franks. £70, Jolene.
No, no.
Please, it'll save my marriage.
Oh, Jolene, the one.
Oh, what the
heck. £75.
£75. I'm going around the room here. Lillian? No. Kirsty? No. Anyone? Brenda? No. I am going at 75. 75 once, 75 twice.
Sabrina's got her hands up, Alan.
Where?
On the door.
Oh, sorry, Sabrina. Right. Oh, Sabrina, it's all 10 digits. Are we up to 85? She's nodding, ladies and gentlemen, at £85. Anyone beyond 85? Jolene?
I can get him round to do mine for free anyway.
And Usha, not that I want to encourage her.
I'll just get you to dig the garden, Dad.
You'll be looking. First time, 85. Second time, we're all done at 85. Going, gone. Congratulations to Sabrina. Well done, Harry. I want to squeeze in one last bit before the break. Now, please settle down, everyone. Come on, be fair. Shh. All right. Come on, order. Lot number 12. 4 hours digging again, this time from Oliver Sterling. Come on, ladies. He's still going to save you a job.
You had the audience in the palm of your hand tonight, Anne.
Oh, you were very lively, you and Ruth.
She'd had a lot to drink. I was just high on atmosphere.
Love, you never said you were going to bid for Harry.
Didn't I? Got to keep you on your toes, darling.
I was right about Brian. He paid well over the odds for Clary's advice on flowering plants.
Oh, some of these water features in Eddie's catalogue are stunning. The Pompeii looks very impressive. You can even have one up against the wall.
Excuse me a minute, Vicky.
Thanks for buying Oliver's offer, Jim. Things were a bit anticlimactic after Harry.
Well, yes. I couldn't compete with £85. Actually, I'd bought it for Joe.
Oh, really?
Well, he hasn't got the income to compete with the high rollers at Gleeblands, has he? Call it a random act of kindness.
Quite so. Oh, Linda. Hi.
Alan.
When might it be convenient for you to bring the llamas down to the vicarage?
Oh, they're ever ready and willing, like their mistress. I was touched you offered a straight £30 for them.
Well, I think people were so taken aback by your offer, they didn't quite know how to react.
Yes, I expect that's it.
Morning, Tom.
Oh, hi, Auntie Lillian. Here's your veg box. I'm sorry it's late.
Well, I wouldn't have known. I'm usually working at this time, but I'm taking the day off today. Ooh, what's that ugly thing under the leeks?
Celeriac.
Oh, yeah. Well, you can put mine in Jenny's box, darling.
Okay.
If I'm honest, a lot of it goes to waste.
That's a pity.
Especially when it's very muddy. I get the boxes out of loyalty, really. Left to myself, I'd live on titbits from the Underwoods food hall. Still, Matt likes a square meal, so I make the effort.
Would you be more interested if we put more exotic produce in the box?
What? Pineapples, darling?
No. Like different varieties of chilies, aubergines, that sort of thing. And maybe blueberries in the summer.
Matt does like a stir-fry. And blueberries are supposed to keep you alive forever, aren't they?
Yeah, slight exaggeration.
Yes, well, it all sounds more me than celeriac and swede.
Yeah, great. OK. I'm really keen to try new lines, you see, but Dad's dragging his heels.
Go easy on the old man, Tom.
Oh, I can't. There's too much at stake. Oh, I hear you're supporting Brian on Friday evening.
Yeah. Matt and I are all in favour of this dairy idea.
Why, though?
Because we need something to kick-start jobs around here.
Oh.
And the construction industry could certainly do with the work.
I mean, who in their right mind thinks a llama can do an even job cutting the grass?
Oh, Linda, for one.
Mind you, Dad could have fancied their droppings for his veg batch.
Oh, no, Eddie. You're not to call them droppings, they're llama beans.
Oh? You want to get a mow in the green burial field, save you a job.
Hey, no. She and Robert have booked their plots, you know.
Never.
Yeah, side by side. plus three more for the llamas. Hey, guess what Harry said to me after his round?
What?
Well, you know Sabrina's paid for him to dig her garden.
Well, the old village knows that after last night.
Well, she's only told him to wait till the weather's hot.
Why?
So he can work with his shirt off.
Well, well, well. Women used to think of me like that.
Yeah. Now they ask you to keep it on. Here, do you think this counts as gossiping?
No, no.
Oh.
Oh, has your missus chosen her water feature yet?
Oh, yeah. No, I meant to say. Let's see. We've drooled over this catalogue half the night.
Some nice ones in there.
Fold the page over. Oh, yeah. Here we are. The Trevi, that's it. Kept going on about Roman holiday.
Standard or bellissima?
Oh, bellissima.
Right. Give us it.
Yeah, I wasn't too happy. She shelled out 65 quid last night, but, well, it's for a good cause.
Trevi. Oh, yeah. The bellissima. £99.99.
Yeah. I think you noticed the price. Very generous of you.
Oh, I'd prefer cash if that's all right.
Very funny.
Oh, a cheque then, made out to me.
Are you serious? You're expecting me to pay for it?
Of course.
Well, on top of the 65 quid?
I'm not a flaming charity. I'm already fetching it and installing it for free. I mean, what do you want? The shirt off me back?
Oh, you are a shark, Eddie. I've been missold and... Well, I bet you'll be getting it trade and all.
Oliver Sterling will be a liability digging my patch at his age.
Thank you, Jim, for buying me Oliver's time and saving me the work.
Oh, beg pardon, brother.
So much for my random act of kindness. Anyway, the auction raised £723. I don't know where the three came from.
Oh, that's very good, eh?
Well, I'd far rather we raised our own funds than take Bortus Alan's shilling.
Yeah, it's a natural keeping beasts indoors all year. They need to smell the wind.
Right, Dad. Larry's got our dinner on.
Oh, right, you are.
All right, Jim.
Ah, have a seat, Mike. Hmm? We have things to discuss.
Oh, OK.
Well, I'll see you then, Pop.
Goodbye, Joe. Eddie.
Bye. Come on, Dad.
Now, Mike. Hmm? The members of the Cider Club are at last filling in their timesheets more carefully, so I have an accurate sense of everyone's hours.
Oh, well, that's progress.
Indeed. But we still need to agree on the percentage of cider to allocate to Joe and Eddie.
Oh, that greedy pair.
When I spoke to Joe a fortnight ago, he was talking about keeping 80%.
80? You see, that's greedy.
Wait. I've talked him down to 70.
Oh, 50-50 more like.
How am I supposed to keep everyone happy? There are some members who don't want any cider at all.
Well, I'll have their share then.
That's not exactly equitable.
All right, but you should at least factor that into the final formula.
Final formula? Ah, yes. So you think there should be some kind of a mathematical formula based on all the information?
Well, well, seems the best way, doesn't it?
Excellent. Well, you ring round the Cider Club while I work something out. We'll call an impromptu meeting ASAP.
Right you are, Jim.
And you'll back me up.
Oh, if it's fair.
Well, I'm sure we can settle this to everyone's satisfaction.
See, Dad? We could extend the tunnel to here... and you'd still get enough light.
Yeah, maybe.
I'm looking into varieties of garlic, did I say?
Yep, and I said it takes time to extend the ranges. I can't just magic up new produce overnight.
Well, that's why we need to make a start now, so we can capitalise on this window of change.
Same old Tom. Do you remember that time you wanted to produce organic nuggets and kebabs?
Dad, are you seriously comparing those silly novelty ideas to this new opportunity? This is a revolutionary time for the Ambridge Organics brand. And you want to talk about nuggets?
Seems I can't even have a joke with my son anymore.
You obviously think it's all a joke. I'm telling you, the veg is the weak link in the operation.
Don't you dare patronise me, Tom. It's all very well, this big talk. But who's paying for these shiny new polytunnels, eh? I'm already in hock to Lillian and the bank.
Oh, forget it, Dad. Just forget it.
Right, now, settle down, Cider.
Yeah, come on, let Jim speak.
Thank you. And thank you, Mike, for convening this impromptu meeting at such short notice.
All right.
Now, I've analysed all the relevant data. Being the old school, I began my calculations as fractions.
Oh, I was away when we did them at school.
That explains a lot.
And anyway, quiet, you two. I wanted to follow the prop.
But that assumed that everyone's effort had been equal, and as we know, there were variables. For example, you each put in different amounts of labour.
Some more than others.
Yeah, well, admit I haven't done much.
Oh, were you content to drink the science?
So I abandoned fractions and converted to percentages. A percentage is a fraction whose denominator is 100, and to turn a percentage into a decimal, I divide by 100. But that wasn't helpful, was it?
No.
So I changed the decimals back into percentages by multiplying by 100.
Eh?
Yeah, wake up, mate Tucker.
Now, for clarification, I've drawn up a pictorial representation in the form of a circle graph.
Oh, no,
you look at that, Eddie.
Very pretty colours, dear.
Thank you.
What's all them letters and things on the side?
Every graph has a key, Joe. It unlocks the code. I've weighted the allocation of cider in favour of Joe and Eddie.
Quite right.
Based on factors C, H and E. The letters down here, see?
C, H and E.
C being the Grundy consultancy factor. That's the blue shaded area.
Oh, I like blue.
H, their historic expertise. I've represented that in green. And E is for their equipment used. Yellow.
Yellow, you see. Oh, someone wake up, Bert.
Eddie, please. To wit, the relative demands are expressed as percentages and colours, rounded up to the nearest percentage point, of course.
Oh, I like to see the rounding up, eh? Me and all that.
Now, I factored in the growth probability based on variables W, G and Y. W for the long-term weather expectations, G growing conditions and Y predicted yields. From this, I've been able to extract and calculate the dividend forecast for the next 3 years, working on the principle of Pythagorean expectation, of course. Not forgetting to include the projected E, C and H as illustrated.
Sorry to interrupt, Jim.
Not at all.
What's all them little coloured circles with the squiggles in?
I'm glad you asked me that. I divided you into quotient groups, the common factor of each subgroup being defined by the overlap and commonality of the number of hours you've each worked.
Quotient groups, eh?
Yes, Lillian. In group theory, a quotient group is obtained by identifying together elements of a larger group using an equivalence relation, that being a relation, loosely speaking, that partitions a set so that any element of the set is a member of one and only one cell of the partition. Does that answer your question, Mike?
I don't know.
Now, what say we cut to the chase, people?
Yeah, I should say so, Jimmy.
E, C and H are to be valued as add-ons to the median 40%, bringing the Grundy total up to 60%, with the remaining 40% to be divided pro rata between the remaining members of the club. Happy, everyone?
Genius.
Yes. 60-40.
Well, come on then, show yourselves. Give the prof a round of applause for all his efforts.
Yes, come on.
Happy Joe?
Oh, yeah.
Mike?
You've been all round all the letters of the alphabet, so I suppose it's fair.
Of course it's fair. He's worked it out.
Yeah, and he's a professor.
Excellent.
Jim, I think everyone deserves another pint after that, don't you?
Absolutely right you are.
Let's you and me get them in, eh? Come on, darling.
You're looking gormless, Mike Tucker.
I'm not sure what happened there.
Oh, get a grip. It was clear as daylight.
Oh, well, Jim, a professor of maths as well as classics. Where did you study? The University of Oakham.
Just as long as everyone's happy, Lillian.
It's all right, old girl. I'm just checking your foot. I'm not going to hurt you.
Oh, here you are.
That's healing up nicely.
What was it?
A blood blister. There we go. I incised it. I didn't want it turning into an abscess, or worse.
No.
I'm treating her with arnica and witch hazel. Milking go okay?
Yeah, no problems.
Dad, tidying up the yard?
Tomorrow, all right? Tomorrow, Tom.
Right. Well, here we are. Let's get your stuff moved then, Tracy.
No, we can't go in yet.
Eh?
Den might be in.
So?
So he can turn funny.
And that's why I'm here, in case he does. I'm not scared of him.
I'm not going in till I know he's out.
But we don't know if he's in or out, do we?
So we wait.
Oh.
He generally goes out about this time.
Oh, right.
I'm not having him standing there quibbling over every item I pack.
Okay. Though he's hardly going to hold on to Brad and Chelsea's things, is he?
Don't you believe it.
Oh, Lord.
Trust me, it'll be a whole lot easier without him there.
We need to get this done, Tracy.
All right, I know.
Your dad's expecting you to move in today. It's all arranged.
Don't nag.
I shan't have time tomorrow.
He hid my hair straighteners in the microwave once just for a laugh. I bet he's in there now, hiding stuff so I can't find it.
He'll probably be relieved when all your gear's out of the flat and he can start his life afresh.
I bet he sold most of it down the 3 tons. He's fit.
Who?
With the staffy.
If you like the bouncer look.
Den never worked out. That Harry's all right though, isn't he?
I suppose. Nice bloke.
I never stood a chance at the auction. Still, you'll give us a hand with Dad's garden, won't you?
Is that a joke?
Neil.
What?
Don't drum your fingers on the steering wheel. You're getting on my nerves.
Sorry.
Oh, I hate waiting, me.
You're putting me on edge now. And since when did you start biting your fingernails?
Since I gave up smoking for Lent yesterday.
What?
Yeah. Well, it were Ash Wednesday, weren't it?
Fag Ash Wednesday.
Oh, there's Den now.
Where?
Coming out the flat. See, in your wing mirror.
Ah, so he is.
And he's going the other way. Come on then, Neil. What are you waiting for?
I've got you a churn here, Susan.
Oh, right, you're on time, mate.
Yeah.
Oh, you all right? Oh, you look tired, if you don't mind me saying.
Why should I mind? That's the most concern anyone's shown me all week.
Oh, Tony.
Oh, ignore me. Everyone else does. I didn't sleep very well, that's all.
Oh, look, have a sit down on that churn. I won't tell.
Oh, no, no. I've had my orders from the boss. I've got to spruce up the yard.
Oh, Pat won't mind.
But I'm not talking about Pat.
Go on. You look all in.
Okay, then. Did Kylie get off all right yesterday?
Oh, yeah. She's back in Lancaster now.
Oh, a smashing girl she is.
Yeah. She said she'd pop round.
Yeah, well, any time she's back visiting, we'd be more than happy to see her.
Oh, well, I'll tell her next time I email. She
really hit it off with Helen.
Oh, Emma and all.
Ian, I don't suppose Neil could use some corrugated sheets, could he?
Oh, I'll ask him.
They're not too rusty.
He's driven Tracy to fetch her stuff from Den's this morning. She's moving in with Dad and Gary.
Oh, I bet your Dad's pleased.
Oh, he's over the moon.
You'll be glad to have your house back to yourselves, then.
Neil's counting the minutes. Mm. I just hope he'll be all right.
Oh, why?
Oh, Den's very unpredictable.
Get in, you stupid bear.
All right, Neil.
If you'd warned me about the size of Brad's teddy bear, we could have hired a pantechnicon. It's like wrestling King Kong.
He had it when he was a toddler. He was so terrified, I shoved it in the loft till now.
So he wouldn't have missed it, would he?
Oh, he always knew it was up there. Told me to bring it today or else. Careful, you'll squidge his face in.
I am doing my best. If you'd remembered it sooner, I'd have put it in first.
I'd forgotten there was so much up there. Look, if you move that light shade over...
There are light shades at number 6, you know.
I don't want Den having it.
You said he was petty. Ah! Ah! There we are, big fella. He's in.
Ah. Great. There's just these balloons now.
What?
Den's bought them for the kids.
And where am I going to fit that lot in?
I don't know.
The van is full. You'll have to leave them behind.
I can't. He texted the kids yesterday. They're dead excited. 6 each, he said. They'll kick off if I don't bring them back.
All right. But they'll have to come in the cab. The back's full to busting.
Oh, you're a star, Neil.
If I can get these blooming doors closed. Right. Let's go. Now, keep them under control, Tracy. I need to be able to see out the windscreen.
They keep floating up.
Then pull them down.
Oh, I'll do my best.
Why don't we just take Chelsea's balloons this trip and I can come back for Brad's?
Are you mad? You know what they're like.
Yeah, on second thoughts.
Oh, I got to go back in.
What?
The kids' bikes. They're in Kev's shed.
Who's Kev?
Bottom flat. He's got the garden.
I don't believe it.
Oh, Kev's ever so good about storing stuff.
Now, where are they going to go?
I don't know. We'll stick them on the roof.
Tracy.
Wait. It's Den coming towards us.
Oh, yeah?
Get down, Neil.
Hey?
Quick.
Steady on. You'll have my arm out.
Bad timing.
Blooming balloons.
Keep your head down. He'll see us.
I can't breathe.
I'm going up for a quick look. Don't move.
I told you, I'm not scared of him.
Well, you should be. He's got mates that could rearrange your face.
You never told me that.
Hell!
What did you see?
He's talking to a neighbour.
Oh, great. Why are we whispering?
Oh, my nerves.
You're never having a cigarette.
It's an emergency.
You said you'd give it up.
One don't count. Besides, I'm stressed.
You're stressed?
Oh, where's my lighter?
Can't you at least wait till I can open the window?
Don't you dare. That's yours.
Oh, blooming heck, so it is. I'm getting a crack in my neck lent over like this. Susan? It's going fine. Oh, sorry, love. Can you hear me now?
That's better.
God!
What are you doing, Neil?
Was that a shotgun?
No, my ciggy burst a balloon. Oh, Chelsea, you'll go mad.
Never mind, Chelsea. You nearly gave me a heart attack. No, it's okay, Susan. It was nothing.
What did you have to hit the horn for?
It's the shock of that stupid balloon. My hand hit the steering wheel.
Well, that's it now. You've blown it.
Sorry, love. I'm going to have to go. Yeah, I'll see you at home. Oh.
Uh-oh.
Den?
Tony?
Oh, hello, Jennifer. Can Adam make use of these?
Where is Pat?
Why?
I've just seen the link on the village website to her petition.
Oh, well, she's out delivering.
It's a totally inappropriate use of the site. She is... Well, she's so obsessed with opposing us, she's lost all perspective.
Oh, don't talk about Pat like that.
Well, what a ridiculous and puerile thing to do.
She's got every right.
Well, of course, you'd stick up for her.
Oh, you're sticking up for Brian.
Of course, I know what's behind it. Spite.
What?
Because I wouldn't lend you the money last year.
Oh, my... Do you really think I'm that petty?
Yes, actually.
If you can't distinguish between our personal differences and my objection to this ghastly dairy, then you're thicker than I thought.
What? Sticks and stones, Tony. This e-petition's nothing but a rabble-rousing tool to subvert the debate.
Oh, no, Jennifer. It's a legitimate and democratic tool to fight an inhumane system of farming. You know, you had principles once, but now you just follow the money.
And Pat, hijacking the website for her own ends is democratic,
well,
is it?
How else can the little people fight back?
Oh, for heaven's sake!
You're so wedded to the elite now, you can't even see it.
And you're still so jealous of Brian's success. It's pathetic at your age.
Well, if that's success, I'd rather be a failure.
It's funny his money wasn't a problem when you needed to borrow some.
There's a moral difference between need and greed, Jennifer. And I know which side I'd rather be on.
So it turned out when Den knocked on the window, he was trying to give Tracy some money for the kids.
I wondered what the heck was going on.
I was that relieved when we pulled away from there.
Well, you delivered Tracy and the kids to number 6, so mission accomplished.
Plus all their worldly goods, including 10 balloons. Tracy burst another one to make sure the kids had 5 apiece.
Yeah, very wise.
First thing they did was jump up and down on Bert's couch, with Gary still on it.
Oh, you're a saint, Neil Carter, do you know? You've done all that work on Dad's house.
And all except for Gary's room.
Well, I'm sure he'll manage.
I never said a word to Bert when he hinted I should paint it. They can sort that out themselves now.
That's the idea.
Oh, come here. Oh, we've had a time of it, Harry.
You can say that again. Oh, Clive showing up. Mum passing away.
Yeah. Then Tracy landing on us.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Oh, none of it was your doing, love.
The bright spot was meeting up with Kylie again.
Yeah. I reckon we're due a quiet spell now, though, don't you?
Well, just listen to it, Neil. The silence.
Oh, yeah, heaven. Hey, why don't we go out for dinner?
Oh?
There's that Chinese place we always said we'd try.
Maybe.
What? You don't sound keen.
Or it might be nicer to stay in and enjoy our privacy. Now we got the place back to ourselves.
Oh, right. What a good idea.
And who else is coming? Who's on our side?
Richard Thwaite.
Oh.
I found more support amongst Glebeland commuters than the farming families in the village. What's got into people? Can't they see this development could create jobs?
Okay, come on. We've got a good case to put forward.
Just wish I could stuff Pat in a box for the evening. No, seriously, Debbie, she's on the warpath.
Well, I'm feeling confident. The only area we may appear weak on is environmental damage. Until the research comes back, we shan't have the facts to hand.
Well, it's all right, because I'll field that one. Just you concentrate on a strong opening statement.
Oh, don't worry. I wonder what Adam's plans are.
I wish I knew.
Oh, you're in here. We're all ready. Helen's got Henry in the car seat.
What?
Tom and Brenda are seeing us there. Oh, come on, love. Stir your stumps. The meeting starts at 5:30.
I'm not coming.
What do you mean you're not coming?
Well, I don't want to let you down.
Why not?
Well, I'm exhausted. Oh.
Well, you can look after Henry then.
Oh, no, please.
You know, Helen was worried about him coming anyway.
Well, do I have to?
It's the least you can do.
Well, I want a bath and an early night.
Don't we all? But democracy can't afford to sleep.
Oh, just go and fetch him then.
I will. He's in a very lively mood. He'll need entertaining.
Oh, right.
So we had a quiet evening in with a takeaway, just me and Susan. It was bliss.
Sounds like you earned it.
These are the plans, then?
Oh. Yep.
Excuse me, I need a word with Brian and Debbie.
All right.
Look at the size of it. Whatever happened to the lowly cowboyer, eh?
You sound just like Joe.
Yeah, well, I've promised him I'll speak up on his behalf. I feel dead nervous, though.
Hey, we're still a democracy. We've every right to speak.
What about you?
No, I'm strictly observing tonight as NFU chair.
Oh, here we go. There's Will. Look. I swear he's only taking Brian's side to spite me on this.
Well, you're not the only family split on this. Oh, hi, Pat.
Hi.
Oh, Pat, I'm sorry. Grandad can't make it. He's feeling too old and too cold to come out.
I've got one at home like that. Never mind.
Shall we get our seats, David?
Yeah, okay.
You ready, Ruth?
You bet. I see Jennifer and the tribe are in the front row.
All except Adam.
Yeah, but Ian's at the back.
Oh, good.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'd like to start the meeting now, please.
Here we go.
Good luck.
And we want to invest in this business as part of the drive for exports and to create jobs. This can help the economy recover and help Britain play her role in feeding the world. Ladies and gentlemen, the big picture.
Thank you, Debbie. Thank you. Now, I'm opening the meeting to the floor. Yes, Pat Archer.
I found it quite hard to picture 1,500 cows. That sounds so much more than 1,500, doesn't it? But then I thought of the opening credits of Rawhide. Hundreds and hundreds of steers crossing the horizon, silhouetted against the plains of Texas, or should that be Hungary? But then I remembered that the cows in this dairy unit won't be moving across America on a cattle drive. They'll all be cooped up together in a big tin shed up the road. It's not only the monstrous scale of this project that offends people, it's the power it represents. We haven't asked for something the size of an aircraft hangar to blight the local landscape.
It's a beautiful design, Pat. One we'll happily screen with trees if that's what people want.
Oh, so it can't be that beautiful then?
The reason it's big is to produce economies of scale. We plan to compete in international markets.
What about the small producer?
Hear, hear. No competition, Ed. We'll be sending milk powder to Asia, not putting pints on doorsteps.
Mike Tucker's not worried about his milk round, Ed. You should listen to him.
Yes, hands up. This is a big project. But then it's a bold vision. You shouldn't be afraid of enterprise.
And you plan to run things from Hungary, isn't that right? So you won't have to live with it. And neither will most of the BL shareholders.
That's hardly fair, Pat.
Where's the local accountability?
We'll be staffing the dairy, of course, and there'll be an on-site manager.
There won't only be the unit housing the cows, though, will there? There's the anaerobic digester plant, the food storage buildings, not to mention all the access roads.
Now, look, that's misleading. Our plans don't affect the public highway.
It's more tarmac over the countryside, though.
On our land, not yours.
What about the traffic?
Sorry, Ed. Can you stand up? Not everyone can hear you.
Oh, sorry. The lanes round here, they're narrow. I have to move cows on them twice a day. There's bound to be loads of traffic while the unit's being built. That could be dangerous. And there'll be lorries going to and fro all day long once it's set up. That'll be a daily hazard for my herd, and they're my livelihood. So much for me not being affected.
Yeah, yeah, well said, Ed.
And what's to say you won't want to double its size in a few years?
I must object, Neil. That's scaremongering. That's not the subject for tonight, Pat.
Okay. But there are huge profits to be made in commodities. I can well see the shareholders wanting to milk the cash cow even more and extend.
That's not the plan.
And what if you can't compete with the US economies of scale, Debbie? You'll be looking to dump the milk cheaply on the supermarkets, and that's bound to impact on smaller dairies.
Exactly. And like Ed said, what about the smaller herds around here? They're finding it harder and harder to keep going. Maybe you want local dairy farms to go out of business completely, Debbie, so they're reduced to growing crops for your dairy just to survive.
Come on, Ruth.
And the fields put to supplying Home Farm won't be growing food for you and me, ladies and gentlemen.
Look, you can hardly lay your current problems at Home Farm's door, Ruth. We haven't even built the dairy yet. Anyway, I hope there's room for all types of farming to suit different markets. Not everyone agrees with your grazing system, Ruth. I'm not trying to stop you using it, so why are you trying to stop us doing things our way?
If these units are so marvellous, why are there fewer than a dozen in Britain? The truth is, the welfare of the animals leaves a lot to be desired.
Not true!
Neil, I'd like to address the welfare issue head on, please, because I know people have legitimate concerns.
All right, Debbie.
Our welfare standards will be exemplary. Each cow has its own water trough.
Oh, lucky them!
And plenty of room to lie down and move around. It's all been researched.
Oh, well, that's all right then.
And our locally employed staff will be extremely well trained in animal husbandry.
Yeah, but the cows won't go outside, will they?
Look, cows in the UK already spend much of the year indoors, Ed. In fact, our standards of care will be far higher than some small farms where conditions are cramped and the cows suffer with poor ventilation.
Except the high yields you want mean yours will be worth far beyond their natural capabilities.
It's not right now.
Cows in intensive units have to be dosed up to the eyeballs with antibiotics to prevent disease spreading at close quarters.
No, I'm sorry, I must interrupt. Look, do you honestly think it's not in our interest, Pat, to keep the cows healthy and happy? I can assure you they'll be the most pampered cows in Borsetshire. And we don't anticipate any problems with hygiene. Unlike some local enterprises which experienced infection problems in recent months.
Come on, order. Please, order! Do you want to respond to that, Pat?
Oh, I shan't rise to it. But are people aware this development has the pollution potential of a small town?
Really?
There'll be vast amounts of slurry to dispose of, and I mean vast.
We'll have the digester.
Quite, and all the latest green technologies.
Wondered when that word green was going to pop up. What guarantees are there that the digester can cope with all the slurry? How can you be sure there won't be accidental leaks?
Environmental safety is our biggest concern.
come on now.
For a start, our soil's heavy up there. It's clay mainly. And we've employed experts to do extensive research. I mean, you needn't take our word for it. The Environmental Agency will go through our plans with a microscope. And if they're not satisfied, we will, of course, moderate them.
Well, I'm not reassured.
I'm wondering if we should go to a short break now.
No, wait, Neil, please. I'd like to speak.
Okay then, Ruth.
Cows belong on grass. That's what they do. They're ruminants, and grass allows them to express their natural behaviour. However modern the breed, it's in their genes. I agree a well-run zero grazing system can produce high yields as well as high welfare. And I wouldn't accuse Borchester Land of cruelty. But it's plain wrong to regard cows simply as vehicles for milk production. If it's to produce high quality and nutritious food, a dairy farm should be part of the landscape, in tune with the natural rhythms of the animal and the seasons. Not just a food factory, however well run.
I appreciated your neutrality tonight, David. It must have been hard.
Oh, I hope I can separate my personal and public roles, Debbie.
Well, I think the union's position is very fair. That there's room for all types of farming, despite what Ruth might be saying in public.
She's entitled to her opinion.
I know. And well done on your pragmatic approach to the badgers, by the way. Biosecurity is so important. And that's one of the advantages of zero grazing, of course.
When are you going back to Hungary?
Sunday.
Ah, all right, David.
Excuse me. Ruth and I promised Emma we wouldn't be late.
Well, thank God Adam didn't show up. I was keeping a nervous eye on the door, I can tell you.
Me too.
Annabelle seems to think it's gone okay. I'm not sure. What do you think?
Oh, I'm with Annabelle. She was so right to stand up at the end and ram home the local economy angle. It could swing it for people. The jobs thing.
There was still a lot of opposition there.
And we know who was leading it. Relax, Brian. Just keep hold of the big picture.